Hello and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, and our special guest today, Judy Dolison, President, Central Ohio Better Business Bureau. Beautiful start to the day. Sunny skies now. Could see some clouds, chance of rain later today. Again, hot heat advisory remains in effect until 8 this evening. I would not be surprised if maybe they extend that through tomorrow because it's going to be pretty hot tomorrow as well, but we'll wait and see. And just a quick reminder, there is a cooling center opening this morning at 10 o'clock over at Holy Lutheran Trinity Church. You can get over there. It's on West Main Street in Newark. So if you need some place to beat this heat, go ahead and get out and do that. Judy, it's hot everywhere. I know you're driving in this morning. I mean, when you go outside and you see 70 in the morning, you know it's going to be a hot day.
Well, I actually like that. So I'm one of those people.
See? You should have taken our poll question because a lot of people, our question was, does the heat make you moody?
Yeah.
I'd rather have this than the cold, the snow and all that.
I'll take the heat any day over cold.
Well, you better watch how you say that as president of the Central Ohio Better Business Bureau. Yeah, I don't think you want too much heat.
That's true. A different kind of heat, right?
That's right. Hey, real quick, before we get into, because you know we're going to have some fun with Ohio State, obviously, coming up this weekend, but something that's not a funny story is what's happening with the city of Columbus and their breach. This was major.
Yeah, and keeps evolving. We find out more and more information of how the data was compromised, so it's affecting a lot of people.
What do you tell folks? I mean, with something like this, and I know the city's trying to wrap their arms around it, and a little bit of miscommunication as this all started. Right. But I mean, what can folks do?
Well, you know, we say that a lot of times you find out that you've been a victim of data breach by the organization where it happened. But there's a lot of ways you can be on the lookout all the time to make sure that your data is being protected. So, you know, we always say you should always be looking at your credit report. There's a website that's annualcreditreport.com. It used to be available, you could get your credit reports once a year for free. During COVID, that was extended to every week, and now they've continued that. So if you ever suspect that you have an issue, or if you just want to routinely look at it, like once a month, you can get on annualcreditreport.com and look at your credit reports, because that is a great place to see if people are trying to take out loans or credit cards under your name. You will see those, you know, those attempts. So a good place to start. You should always be monitoring your checking accounts and your savings accounts and all of your online, you know, accounts that you have set up to make sure that there is no charges on there that you didn't authorize, or if you're getting some unfamiliar correspondence, like something from the IRS saying you sent a duplicate tax return, or you get something from the unemployment for benefits that you didn't apply for. Those are all red flags that someone's using your identity to take out different accounts and different benefits.
Did you get a lot of calls or emails or requests coming in from folks with this, with going, all right, how can you help us? What can we do?
Yeah,
I mean, what's...
Right. We do all the time, unfortunately. This is not, the city was a big one, but we have many data breaches that we hear about. So it's really important to be vigilant, right? And to make sure you're looking at your accounts all the time. When you do know that your data was compromised in this case, there are some additional steps that you can take. You want to change your passwords. If you know that data was compromised, go in, change all your account passwords, maybe even change the accounts themselves. Look at your, bank accounts and update those accounts with the financial institutions. Even things like your utility accounts or your online shopping accounts, you might want to look at changing those passwords as well. We also recommend in this situation that you file with each of the three credit bureaus a credit freeze.
I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah, so with TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, you want to do a credit freeze. And what that'll do is it will stop any outside creditor from taking out additional credit in your name. So whether that's a loan or a credit card, they will get blocked. That can't happen. And it's easy to do. You can do it online. It happens almost immediately. If you don't want to do it online, you can go through the mail or make a phone call. But then you can also do what's called a fraud alert. And that's a little bit different. But a fraud alert will tell any creditor that's trying to access your credit report, that they have to verify the identity of the person who's filing for that credit. So that puts the onus back on the creditor to make sure, you know, they'll ask for maybe a social security number or driver's license number, some other piece of personal identifiable information to confirm that it's really you taking out that request. So, and if you ever find that you are, you know, likely a victim, there are some great resources out there. BBB has some really good resources through the Scam Tracker, as well as the FTC has identitytheft.gov, which is a great website. They will walk you through different forms of that you should fill out based on the particular piece of identity that you think may be compromised. So if your social security number, they have a set of checklists for that. If it's your driver's license or credit card, or if it's multiple ones, they'll kind of walk you through exactly what to do. Great website to use.
Yeah, because I know with like the credit freeze, a lot of times, you know, folks right away I'm like, all right, I'm going to cancel my credit cards. But the credit freeze, I think, is something that a lot of people don't think about right away. It's like, okay, right. I don't want anything open before you can even start all that other stuff. Yeah. I mean, go there first, because it could be a nightmare.
It's a great place to start, and it's free. And you do have to call each of the three credit bureaus. One won't do it. You have to make each request. And even think about things like your child's identity. If you have children living in your house, they may not even have credit, but that doesn't stop a scammer for taking it out in their name. If they have their social security number, they can pretend like they're them. And so it isn't always just you. You also want to look at your child's too.
It's curious to me, Judy, you know, based on the fact that all these hacks are online hacks, what's the probability that if I choose to go online to go to these, you know, Experian and all this, I mean, am I opening myself up there? Would a call be better? Would the mail be better in that instance?
So a couple things. That's a great question, because if you follow a link, if you're doing a broad search and you follow a link, you could very well end up on a scammer's website, because they're great at doing impersonating a legitimate company's website. Okay. So if you type in, if you know the URL and you type it into the browser and you go directly to that website, that's a more secure way of doing it. But if you have any concerns, you can do it by mail or by phone as well. Okay. But something we see with situations like this is scammers double down. So we were just talking about that earlier. If they if there is a known data breach out there, scammers will start phishing for victims of that data breach. And so they will pretend that they're credit bureaus or your financial institution or some entity that's there to help you, like one of the LifeLocks or one of those type of organizations. Mm-hmm. And again, scammer. They're posing as a legitimate company. Mm-hmm. And if you give them information, assuming that they are going to help protect you, you actually are just giving away more of your identity.
It's terrible.
You know, you mentioned LifeLock and some of these others. I mean, can they help be held responsible if something happens? So if I have LifeLock and this happened to me, how does that work? Because I think a lot of people, they have that, I don't want to say it's a false sense of security, but they have a sense of security like, oh yeah, I'm paying this to have these folks make sure they keep
And each of those type of organizations have different, you know, benefits that they offer and different plans, I understand. But mostly they're monitoring. So they can alert you when someone is tapping into your credit or someone is tapping in, like if your information is on the dark web, mm-hmm. they can inform you of those things. And usually they have some of the contact through the credit bureaus to help you start the credit freeze, but they may not have all those services. So you want to make sure before you pay for those are paid services, mm-hmm. that you have everything you want. And a lot of times it's still good to go to the credit bureaus and put your credit freeze on, whether or not you have these monitoring services, because they may very well perform different things.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think back when Licking County was hit a number of years ago by the ransomware, not to the extent that we're seeing in Columbus, but boy, I mean, they quickly acted. I mean, the county, I mean, they had the IT guy, and as soon as he saw something was wrong, he was like, get in here, we got a problem. I mean, because if you don't act quickly, then it really exponentially, and you are hitting everybody.
Right.
It's amazing to me how quickly all these things can take off. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. Obviously, we're back to school, and you know, there's scams involving kids. You talked about folks can take out credit for kids, but even, you know, back to school, simple things like photos or, you know, fundraisers or those kind of things for schools. You'll see the kids going around. Hey, I'm trying to sell this to raise money for this. You got to keep your eyes on those as well.
Yeah, we see it a lot with back to school. You know, parents are sharing their back first day back to school photos online, and has the child's name and their grade level, their school sometimes. And that just is information that can be used in a couple different ways that's not good. So you have child predators out there, and that can information that they can use to, you know, build trust with the child if they were to find out where they are. You know, some of those pictures could even include the house number or the street that they're on, and that directly relates to where the child lives. So very careful with giving that opportunity for predators, obviously, but also scammers. Scammers use that information to hack into your passwords, right? A lot of people will use some of these, your child's names or your school as a basis for a password. So they sometimes use those to try to figure out, you know, what your passwords are. We play those online games. Everybody does it. You know, name your first car or name your mother's maiden name. Well, those are passwords we use or identity questions that we use on websites. So always be careful with sharing that type of information on social media. You know, we talk about the grandparent scam, where the scammer will pretend like they're a child or grandchild and call their grandparent and say, you know, I'm your grandchild, and here's my information. Well, they get that information through things like that. You know, the child's name and the school they go to. It's all the more we put it out there. You just have to be aware of what you're putting out, and know the risks associated and make your decisions.
Yeah, it seems social media is just a boon for scammers to be able just to get on there. And look, you know, we've got our first grandchild coming up, and my son, who's in IT, says, I better not see one picture of her on your social media. And, you know, my wife and I are like, you know, he's probably right. If he's telling us this, go ahead. The other one that kills me is I just want to take people and go, what are you doing? Posting pictures while they're on vacation. I mean, why don't you just open the front door and tell folks to come in?
No one's in my house, right?
Judy, I will never understand that. You mean to tell me while you're on vacation, you can't wait till you get back? Right, but I see that. Or when people are like, oh, yeah, we're going to be out of town for a couple of days, and ooh, here's where we're at. I'm like, hey, let them walk in.
Right, I know. It's all information that can be used in a not good way.
It's amazing to me.
Agreed, but it's like there's so many people. I mean, you know, I mean, we're past our days of our son having first day at school and those kind of things, but I still see that fairly regularly. How likely is it? I mean, what's the percentage of someone being randomly picked? Because it just seems like there's so much of that out there. It's like, you know, can't see the forest for the trees, or, you know, hey, there's strength in numbers and those kinds of things. What are those numbers?
You know, I don't have a statistic on that because it's just too hard to tell. And not all, you know, not everything is reported either. So, and it's reported through different entities. So it's hard to have a cumulative total of that. But it's the risk. It's just knowing your risks. Yeah. And we always say, you know, risk benefit, right? If you want to share that information, just be aware of it. Even something as simple as, you know, putting information on forms that you fill out, whether it's for a school or a doctor's office, you know, sometimes they ask for social security numbers or driver's license numbers. Know your risks. You know, if you don't have to put that information, it's better. So we always just say, you know, evaluate the circumstance and make your decisions.
Gotcha.
Real quick before we take a break, the importance of reporting if something happens. And I know, again, sometimes folks are a little leery of doing that because they don't want to be, oh, how did you fall for that?
Well, yeah, embarrassed.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%.
Yeah, but I mean, the importance of doing that is you need to, because then it can help start tracking what's going on in the community.
Yeah, so when you report to the BBB Scam Tracker, we have about a third of our visitors to the Scam Tracker that are using it to research whether they are a victim of a scam. So if you report your scam, whether or not you fell for it, even if you didn't lose money, if you were just approached, if you report it, we know that about a third of the visitors are looking and typing in keywords to see if their situation is the same, and that has proven to prevent people from falling for the scam. And we have reports and actual numbers, although I don't know them off the top of my head, about quite a few people have saved money by looking on the scam tracker. So it does. It helps your neighbor.
Yeah. Report it if something's happened to you.
Good stuff.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest today, Julie Dullison. She is the president, Central Ohio Better Business Bureau. Heat advisory remains in effect today until 8 this evening. Mix of sun and clouds throughout the day. Could see a little rain tonight, so if you're headed down to Millersport and the Sweet Corn Festival, just be prepared. It's going to be hot. Take some water with you, maybe even bring the umbrella along. Even if it doesn't rain, put the umbrella up and block the sun from hitting you while you're sitting down there watching the wonderful parade. But should be a lot of fun as the Sweet Corn Festival, 77th, I believe it is.
Correct.
77.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So you've probably seen them all.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
Nope. Just the last couple.
Judy, there's this little thing called the Buckeyes, and this football game is coming up on Saturday, the season kickoff. And again, seems that, you know, the bad guys, the scammers, are always one step ahead. And one thing you and I were talking about earlier, man, when it comes to tickets, they've got this down to a science as well.
They do. So any big game or a concert, you know, we see a spike in fake tickets, scammers taking advantage of that popularity of the game or the concert. So we'll see it again this fall with the Buckeyes playing. But and you know, because people get so excited and anxious to see, you know, their favorite teams, they do things that they might not otherwise do. And usually what we find is they're clicking on links on social media or through like a broad internet search where they start getting ads that takes them to scam websites. And they're purchasing fake tickets on a scam website. Again, a lot of times they look like legitimate websites because they're imposters. But you really have to be careful with those links that you're following on social media.
What so other than just maybe going to the Ohio State website or Ticketmaster, I mean, what should people look for if they think, man, there's the old saying, it's too good to be true.
Exactly.
I get all that. But I mean, are there other telltale signs for somebody to go, this just doesn't seem right?
Yeah. Well, like you said, first we recommend that you know the source that you're buying from. So in this case, you know, Ohio State Ticket Office. But if you can go to BBB.org, if you're not familiar with the name of the seller, if it's a reseller or broker, we have information. You know, if it's not a legitimate company, you could find that out. There's also the National Association of Ticket Brokers, and they have a list of legitimate ticket sellers that you can also research.
National Association of ticket brokers.
Yes,
that's strong.
And they have a guarantee. If it's one of their members and your tickets don't arrive on time or they're not as promised, there is a money back guarantee if you use one of their members.
Wow.
So they're a great source to, and we partner with the BBB partners with them on information about scam tickets. So, but some of the other things you want to look out for, you know, you want to make sure the ticket has all the right information. Sometimes these scam tickets, like they won't list the, if you look at it closely, like the date's not on there or the seat and the row of the tickets aren't on there. Or even like the venue doesn't match the date that is actually the date of the game, right? So look at all that information and make sure it's correct. Like you said, if the price is good and it's a game in demand, that doesn't make sense. So, if it's too good to be true, it is. And then there's always this sense of urgency. Scammers love to use that because what that does is it makes you act before you have had a chance to research or think about it. So if you know you've got that pressure, even though you know it's a big game and you know you might have to act quickly, but if they're pressuring you to make that decision, that's usually a big red flag that they don't want you to think about it too long.
So. Well, it seems too like, I mean, because of the in-demand nature of the game, you know, to get a deal on a ticket
doesn't make sense.
Zero sense. I mean, even a scammer, I would think a scammer would be like, if the ticket sells for $500, even a scammer you'd think be asking for $750 or $900.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, why would you put it out there for $300 or $400? Yeah. People, yeah. I would think your rate of return would be so small.
Right. The idea is they want you to just act on it. They want you to do it because it's a great rate, it's a great deal, and I'm just going to be making an irrational decision.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's foolish.
Yeah.
That's beyond foolish.
Now, here's another one I did not know about until talking with Judy earlier. Predatory towing the Ohio State game.
Right.
And I'm only laughing because there have been plenty of times we've been over to a game and we'll be tailgating and there goes somebody's car down the road on the back of a tow truck.
Well, for the longest time, it was Shamrock. Shamrock Towing was known as being the guys that are out just for blood. I mean, they went for everybody everywhere all the time.
Well, sounds like somebody may have been bitten by Shamrock.
No, no, not at all. But it just was,
personal. No.
That was the company that were just like, holy mackerel, they're towing like crazy.
Well, there are predatory towers out there that are looking for that opportunity to just like jump on the car as soon as you walk away. And what we find is usually there is poor signage. So you might get out of your car and start walking before you even realize it, that you're not in a legitimate place, that the car is hooked up and on its way out, like you said. So you really have to pay attention to, again, we always say research, right? You don't want to get in that situation. But the types of predatory towing practices that we see is that aggressive towing, they're there, they're taking away your car before you realize it. Excessive fees, there's the state of Ohio restricts the towing fees that you can have, and some try to charge excessive fees, and just a lack of transparency, not having the signage posted, not having the information that they are legally required to post, like how to get your car back and the hours of operation and those types of that information that's important to know, is not there. So we see that happen with, again, when there's demand. Mm-hmm. So more people downtown or around campus area, we're going to see some of this happen.
I'm curious with the BBB, do you have a list of, you know, where predatory towing or any kind of a business where, I know you do, but I mean, is there one for that where folks have said, hey, look, just to take Joel's example, Shamrock, is there a way for folks to get on there and see that?
So on BBB.org, there's a list of all of the businesses that we have records of. And you can look up individual companies. They may be legitimate companies sometimes, but they have bad business practices. So not necessarily a scammer, but bad business practices. And that is reflected in their business profile. So you can find out more about companies, you know, by going on BBB.org. Mm-hmm. And that's true of any type of business, to find out the good companies from the bad companies.
I just wondered if you had a lot of folks who've called up and said, this towing thing here,
absolutely.
I was at the game and I had to come out. My car wasn't there. I wasn't happy about it. So I didn't know if you've seen it. I mean, obviously you have, if this is something that you're warning people
And we
about.
Are not the regulating agency for that, but the Ohio Public Utilities Commission is. So you can, if you are a victim of predatory towing and you want to file a complaint, that is who you file it through.
Really?
But through going through the BBB, you can file a complaint and help notify others that, you know, that's not a good business.
And how far does a company have to go before there's talk of shutdown or fines levied or things like that?
So with BBB, that is not our lane. So that's more the Utilities Commission, and I'm not well versed on their exact criteria that they use.
Gotcha.
But they are the right ones to report to.
Okay, well, I got you.
I want to go back to ticketing because, you know, I've got my my phone right here, and you know, you go to any game now. I know it's this way at Nationwide. I think it's the same over at the Shoe. I mean, it's all on your phone. It's all digital. I mean, you got to scan it and all that. I'm assuming the scammers have gotten this figured out as well, too.
They do. And in some ways, it's even worse with the digital platforms, because they can make alterations to a ticket on, you know, on their computer, send out tickets that aren't real. We saw it a lot with Taylor Swift last year when she was in town. The same ticket could be duplicated and sent out to multiple people. It, maybe one of the tickets was legit, but not all of them. And so you'd show up at the venue and you couldn't get in. Mm-hmm. The ticket wasn't real.
Yeah. I'm one of those, is give me the ticket in my hand so I can go, this is mine.
Right.
I don't know about the people behind me, but this is mine.
That's becoming few and far between anymore.
Yeah. We were up at Blossom not too long ago, and it's all digital as well. And I mean, and not only that, it takes forever, because if you're technologically challenged like I am, and my wife, we were trying to flip through tickets because she had bought four of them, because there was friends were, you got to go through each one, and then you got to, hey, got to make sure I got the right one, and where are you at? Get up here. You coming in. You're just like, just give me a ticket. Let me just hand this to you. So
not that simple anymore.
No. Judy, if folks want more information, I think we touched on what's the easiest way to get it.
You can go to bbb.org. It's a great website. Lots of information from the business directory that we talked about to scam knowledge, the scam tracker, lots of business tips if you're starting a new business or if you're an established business. We have lots of information that's for all consumers and businesses.
Yeah, I would think with the ticket scams and all that's going on, and the towing, that's the one that, and obviously, like I said, he knew about it right away. He's throwing names out there. I'm like, wow.
You used to spend a lot of time around campus on game day.
Oh, that's true. You did.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Judy, as always, a pleasure having you in, talking about the things that folks need to be aware of, because the bad guys, I always joke, are always one step ahead. Sadly, it's the truth, though.
Next time I come, we're going to put you through the test to see how you do on the scam knowledge.
Okay. I might be sick that day.